Welcome, players.
You're welcome.
Are you up for more Maller mayhem?
Yeah!
It's time now. The Benny versus the Penny.
That it is week 7 in the NFL. We are back at it. Not a great weekend last weekend. We don't have a lot of time to play grab ass here, but thank you for downloading this podcast. And this is an informative, information-based podcast giving opinions on all the NFL games. You should not only go on the – you shouldn't bet everything I bet is what I'm trying to say here. But if you're a gambler and you have an opinion on a certain game, if I agree with it, that I always say that should be the thing that pushes you over the edge there. But don't lose touch with reality. I've been very hot this year. It's very thinly based, shall we say. I believe I will continue to win, but years past, years and years of data, it does not go well. Anyway, this week we have the no Browns, no Panthers, no Bucks, no Steelers. They're all in the bye week. Now, David Gascon is the voice of the Penny.
Yeah.
And so, Gascon, how did we do last week before we look ahead?
You were awful. 5-9.
No, I think I was like 6-8.
No, you're 5-9.
No, I think it was 6-8.
No, you were 5-9.
I think you're wrong.
No. You got Carolina correct. You got Minnesota correct.
I had Arizona. They covered against. They were an underdog against Atlanta. They covered.
You had the Lions.
I had the Lions. They covered.
That's right. And that's it. And the Jets.
Okay. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe I did better than you were saying.
No.
But it doesn't matter. I had a bad week. It was not good. I lost my shirt. And I will do better. I like the card this week better. I didn't really like the card last week. I feel like there's some more games I have a good feel on that are in the spotlight this weekend, so we'll see what's going on with that.
Let's make some money.
All right, Arizona 2-3-1 at the New York Giants. It's on Fox. Check this out. Kenny Albert's working with Greg Olsen, the former – actually, he's still playing. He's in the NFL with Carolina. They're on a bye week this week, so Greg Olsen slides into the Fox box that rocks with Kenny Albert. Thanks to my friend Sports with Coleman for letting me know. I thought – Kenny normally works with one of the Barber brothers, but he's going to work with Greg Olsen here. The Giants opened a 3-point favorite. The line is still 3. It's going to be cloudy, 61 degrees at MetLife Stadium for this game. So the weather's not a factor. I'm going to take the Giants in this game. I've been on the Cardinals the last couple of games. It's appropriate that Kyler Murray, who's the size of a high school freshman, is that way because the Cardinals are in the junk food portion of their schedule. Bengals, Falcons, and now Giants. And you're never supposed to choke on cream puffs. Now, Arizona is a cream puff. Kyler Murray sycophants are delusional. He's done okay. But let's not go overboard. This is another game against a dreadful defense where Murray should put up some numbers. New York is 28th in the NFL defensively. They can't stop anybody. And secondly, Big Blue, the Giants, are dead last in giveaways per game. They're ranked 32nd, neck and neck with the Cleveland Browns. And one of the keys to this game, obviously, is the Giants' Saquon Barkley, who's apparently back. The information we have, he missed the last couple games. How effective he'll be after that high ankle sprain is an open question. The jury's still out on that. He suffered that back in week 3. But Evan Ingram, the tight end, also is back. So they're getting a couple of playmakers. You got Golden Tate still there. And Arizona is actually worse defensively than the Giants. They're 30th in the NFL defensively, the G-men. So I expect this to be a seesaw kind of a game. But in the end, I believe the New York Giants at home will win and cover. Giants 34, Cardinals 30.
Hurry up mode. Penny is also going with the New York Giants.
All right, Houston 4-2 and Indianapolis 3-2. It's on CBS with Greg Gumbel and Trent Green on the call. The Colts opened a 2.5-point favorite. Public loves the Texans, so the Colts are down to a 1-point favorite. Game's in a dome at Lucas Oil Stadium, but outside the dome, it'll be 65. But nice day in Indianapolis, mostly cloudy on Sunday. I'm going to take the Colts here. I'll tell you why. First of all, this is a huge letdown spot. I like the psychology of sports gambling. I believe this is a letdown spot for the Texans. I know it's a divisional game, but the Texans are the toast of the NFL in many respects. The talking heads are slobber, slobber, lick, lick all over the Texans after they won at Arrowhead last week, winning the fourth quarter. They were trailing going to the fourth quarter. They won the game, fell behind big early. So everyone's been massaging Deshaun Watson and the his fanboys there, it was orgasmic for them. But the train keeps moving. And Indianapolis is a good spot for Indy. They stepped on the booby trap in their last game before the bye. They lost to the Raiders. And you're going to get a hungry, motivated, focused Colts team looking to get that bad taste out of their mouth. And you got a satisfied Texans team to a point. And also Jacoby Brissett, this is one of the teams he's actually played pretty well against in his career. He's yet to throw an interception. He's won all three games as a quarterback against the Texans in his career. And the other thing about Indy is they're very hard to play in the sense that they're like a chameleon on offense. They change their style from week to week depending on who they're playing to attack the weaknesses of the opponent, which means they're a versatile team. And you know, the other thing is Houston's just due to cool off. The law of averages plays in here. They've had 66 first downs the last two games. 66 first downs the last two games, which is more of a testimonial to the Falcons and the Chiefs. Indianapolis is a better defensive team. They should show some resistance here. Colts 26, Texans 20.
Penny, like you too, going with the Colts.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, next up, Miami 0-5 at Buffalo. 4-1 is on CBS. Andrew Catalan and James Lofton have the call. The Bills opened a 15.5-point favorite. They are favored by 17 degrees at New Era Field. It'll be 57 at kickoff in Orchard Park, New York. I am going to take Buffalo in this game. The main reason, the Dolphins are the peasants of the NFL. They are the undomesticated animals of the pigskin sea. And this is pretty much a show-up-and-win situation. Now, obviously, the big question on this Buffalo-Miami game is, can you cover that number? Buffalo is an offensively challenged football team. At least that's the public perception. That's a lot of real estate to navigate with Josh mistake-prone Allen as quarterback. But there are, you know, there's more than one way to bake a cake, as I like to say. So defense and running the ball, and the Dolphins are going with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who will guaranteed at least have a fumble and an interception or two interceptions, something like that, as he gets the start. It wouldn't really matter whether it's him or Josh Rosen. Fitzpatrick could actually throw a couple of touchdown passes, which would screw you up. But the Bills, even though they're not thought of as a great offensive team, they have outgained their opponents by 97 total net yards per game. That's fifth best in the NFL. The Dolphins have been outgained by over 200 yards per game, the worst in the NFL. By the way, the Jets are the second worst, and they're about 60 yards better than the Dolphins. But I'm riding the Buffalo defense. I'm going to ride with the Bills Mafia here, crush some tables, and hope that Frank Gore in the running game are able to find Pater enough. The other thing is the public keeps betting on the Dolphins. They're not even trying to win, and the dummies in the gambling public keep betting on Miami. They think, oh, 17 points. They must think Dan Marino is playing for the Dolphins. Buffalo 31, Dolphins 10, your final.
It's a divisional game. Penny's also going with the Miami Dolphins. Never mind all that.
Yeah, it's a divisional game, but when one team's not trying, you lay the points. All right, moving on. Minnesota 4-2 at Detroit 2-2-1. It's on Fox. Brandon Godden and Chris Spielman have the call. Why aren't you doing this game?
Well, we'll talk about that when we go have dinner with your buddy Kenny Albert.
Wow, trying to ride my coattails.
No, I was just talking about play-by-play teams. And anyways, come on, let's go.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, Vikings open. I know you want to avoid that. Vikings open to pick them. They are 1.5-point favorites. It's going to be in a dome at Ford Field. Still, the weather's not bad in Detroit. 61 degrees at kickoff. I'm going to take the Vikings in this game. This is a game that was a bit of a toss-up for me. Which Kirk Cousins is going to show up? Cousins has 6 touchdowns over the last 2 games against weaker defenses. Philadelphia. Their secondary sucks. And recorded just 3 across his first 4 games. Now, I am drinking the purple Kool-Aid. I'm betting on Cousins, getting the job done here. But we cannot be oblivious to the fact that he has been like a swing. He's up and down from game to game and in his Minnesota tenure. And the Lions are a better defensive team. you wonder where they're at mindset-wise after a stinging, heartbreak hotel loss at Lambeau on Monday night. The Packers were given the game by incompetence by the referees. But I'm going to take the Vikings. I mean, Detroit has some pretty good names on defense. The perception is they're a good defensive team. But statistically, they've been pulverized. They're giving up 413 yards per game, the Lions, this year. The Vikings, for a comparison, are number five in defense in the NFL. So you got a much better Viking defense. And, you know, Minnesota's defense, a blitz-happy attack, it's the game within the game. That doesn't necessarily help the Vikings because Matthew Stafford has four touchdowns and no interceptions against the blitz. But despite it all, Vikings only a 1.5-point favorite. I know they're on the road. I'm going to take the Vikings 27, Lions 24.
Penny going that way as well, going with Minnesota.
All right, next up, Oakland 3-2 at Green Bay 5-1. It's on CBS. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo have the call. The Packers opened a 7-point favorite. They are favored by 5.5. It'll be partly sunny and 56 degrees at kickoff at Lambeau Field. Well, I don't like the fact that I agree with the public on this, but I do. I'm going to take the Raiders. All right. Now, first of all, the Packers are proof it's better to be lucky than good. We just told you they were given a game by the officials. Green Bay has been the biggest beneficiary of officiating calls going their way, meaning most yards gained from penalties on the other team than any other team in the NFL. It's not even close. So the Raiders are going into a hornet's nest where they not only have to beat the Packers, they have to beat the officials. It's like 13-11. So the Packers have a distinct advantage here, but I think Green Bay is just overrated. I believe they're overrated. I know people say, how could you say that? There's a couple of these games that they should have lost that were given to them by the opposition. So if Green Bay, let's say Green Bay is 3-3 right now, the perception is not, oh, they're great. The perception is, well, they're average. And I don't know who the real Raiders are either, to be honest with you. I mean, to me, the Raiders in Detroit are about even. And Oakland is the rested team after the bye week as they continue that nomad lifestyle, that football orphan lifestyle. Packers coming on the short week. Aaron Rodgers has been a garden variety quarterback. He's 20th in the NFL. Case Keenum has been more productive. Jacoby Brissett has been more productive in these games. Plus, the other thing for Green Bay, I look at the psychology of this. This is a peekaboo special. The Packers have a showcase game next week with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, and this is an out of conference game. I know that's an out of conference game, but that's a big highlight game for the NFL. So do they get caught looking ahead? Packers will win, but will not cover. Packers 24, Raiders 23.
Penny also going with the silver and bleak Oakland Raiders.
All right, let's get trivial. Gardner Minshew, my guy, Gardner Minshew II, is the third quarterback since 1950 to have 800-plus passing yards and no interceptions through his first three career road starts. The other two were Marcus Mariota and blank. Fill in the blank. The answer coming up in a couple minutes. Speaking of Gardner Minshew, Jacksonville at Cincinnati. Jags 2-4, Bengals 0-6. It is on CBS with Kevin Harlan and Rich Gannon. They have the call on this game. Jacksonville opened up a 3-point road favorite. They have actually been bet up to 3.5, which should scare you a little bit because that's that hook on the end of it. It's going to be cloudy, 66 degrees at kickoff at Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati. I'm going to take the Jags in this game, and I think that's the only way. You either don't bet the game or you take Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew mania. They obviously ran into a brick wall last week, but even with the offensive frailties, the Jags were tied with big bad New Orleans going to the fourth quarter. And it took a Teddy Bridgewater drive in a low-scoring game in the fourth quarter to win that for New Orleans. So never a good loss, but that's a competitive loss for Jacksonville against one of the better teams in the NFL. And it's really hard to suck against the Bengals. They're so sorrowful, right? This is the perfect rebound game. It's stunning to see the Jags favorite on the road against anybody, but it's really a tribute to the incompetence of the Bengals franchise that they're in that situation. The Bengals are trying to go 0-16 as the, you know, the front office and all that. They have to lose this game to get closer to that destination. The main reason to like Jacksonville is Leonard effing Fournette. He should pillage those dreadful Cincinnati Bengal linebackers. Jacksonville is averaging 5.1 yards per carry, third best in the NFL. The Bengals are allowing 5.3 yards per carry. That's worst in the NFL. Now, that tells you what has happened. It doesn't tell you what will happen. But the public is all over Jacksonville, which I said, you know, that scares me. But listen, if the Bengals were good or even somewhat competitive, I would say, okay, I'll roll the dice with Cincinnati as a live home dog. But don't hold your breath. They're poorly coached. They have bad players. I know they're getting some guys back, but the mistakes will continue. Jacksonville 26, the Bengals 20.
Penny going the other way, going with the Bengals.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, we got to play off the Insta, the Let's Get Trivial. Gardner Minshew, the third quarterback since 1950 to have 800-plus passing yards and no interceptions through his first three career road starts. The others were Marcus Mariota, who's been benched in Tennessee, back in 2015, and blank. Gascon?
I'm going to go with Bernie Kosar.
It's a good name. You know, that's Dick and Dayton's favorite Browns quarterback is Bernie Kosar.
Nobody else is good on that team.
Dick and Dayton loves him, Webster Slaughter, Ernest Biner, those old Browns.
The fumble.
And Dick would like to see, every time the Browns fire a coach or an executive, I say, hey, Dick, who do you want to see the Browns hire? And Dick and Dayton will always tell me Bernie Kosar. Ben, I think Bernie would be good. It's so funny. But no, the answer is, here's another good name, Elvis Gerbach.
Oh, Kansas City Chiefs?
Now, he did with the 49ers. Oh, okay. He was a rookie with the 49ers in 1995. So that goes way back. That's over 20-something years, almost 25 years ago.
Wow.
You believe it's been almost 25 years since 1995? That's a lot. anyway. I remember talking about Elvis Gerbach on the radio when he was playing. Yikes. All right, the L.A. Rams, 3-3 at Atlanta, 1-5 on Fox with Sam Rosen and Charles Davis calling this game. Now, the Rams opened a 4-point road favorite. They are favored by 3. I mean, a dome in Atlanta, light rain, 69 degrees outside, but inside, perfect conditions at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm taking the Rams. All right. The Falcons went into Los Angeles, upset the Rams in the playoffs a couple years ago. This is the first meeting since that game. You assume there's enough players on the Rams that are still around that remember that. This is also the perfect vaccine, the magic elixir for what is hurting the Rams. Everyone and their uncle gets healthy against the Falcons. If the Rams lose this game, heads should roll. Under no circumstances are they allowed to lose this game. Now, the question is, will they cover the spread? Under Sean McVay, the Rams have played as road warriors, have done really well, especially against crappy opponents. The problem is this version of the Rams that they currently have has the worst starting offensive line in the NFL, according to the advanced data, not counting the Dolphins. So outside the Dolphins, who aren't even a real NFL team. Fortunately, though, the reason you like the Rams here, Jared Goff is going against the Falcons defense, which gargles tap water from Flint, Michigan. They're so bad. Even Marcus Mariota a couple weeks ago looked invincible against the Dirty Birds defense. Atlanta has allowed 1,034 total yards the last two games. That's the most surrendered by any team in a two-game span the entire year so far, including a league that has the Dolphins and the Bengals and the Redskins. So, and the other thing is the Rams should be 4-2. Greg Zuerlein missed a gimme in Seattle, and if the Rams were 4-2 at this point instead of 3-2 or 3-3, the public perception would be much different. The line, the Rams would be probably favored by 5 or more points in this game. So you got to adjust with that and say, well, they should have won that game. And the other thing, there's a lot of sulking and whining going on in Atlanta. Everyone's waiting for the guillotine to fall in the neck of Dan Quinn as he continues to hold on by a thread as the sheriff of Huckleberry. But the Dolphins and Bengals are historically bad, so Atlanta is getting a bit of a pass of criticism. And you don't have the full bullseye on their back and all that, but they have been playing powder puff football in Georgia this year. And, you know, Matt Ryan will get his empty numbers. He'll pass for 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns and all that stuff. But, you know, plenty of ineptitude and clumsiness. And hopefully Jalen Ramsey will play and he'll shut down Julio Jones or contain him. And the Browns will have a bunch of drop passes, a bunch of fumbles, a bunch of players slipping and falling. It's like a football follies video. And the Rams will feel good about themselves, and they'll get to 4-3. Rams 30, Falcons 20.
You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
Damn right, man. Damn right. I love that. Play that more.
Penny's also going with the Rams. They got to win more.
They got to win more, the Rams?
Penny can't be playing that unless they start winning. They're playing like a bunch of chumps.
3-3, average.
They got manhandled last week.
They're right in the middle of the bell curve.
They were grabbing ankles last week. It was embarrassing.
Well, you do that every weekend. All right, let's get trivial. You set me up, man. You're like, that was like a John Stockton pass to Karl Malone back with the old days of Utah Jazz. You set me up, man.
Wow.
That was a an alley-oop pass from Russell Westbrook to James Harden. I mean, come on. All right, let's get trivial. The Redskins earned their first win of the season in interim coach Bill Callahan's debut. Now, Callahan is bidding to become the fifth Redskins coach to win his first two games, the first since blank. The answer coming up. Speaking of the Redskins, they play host to Santa Clara. The Santa Clara 49ers are 5-0. Redskins are 1-5. It's on Fox. My former colleague Chris Myers, part of the Fox Sports Radio Alumni Association, and Daryl Moose Johnston have the call. The Niners opened a 9.5-point favorite. They are currently favored by 9.5. The line has not changed. It'll be cloudy in 59 in Landover, Maryland at FedEx Field. And against my better judgment, I'm going to take the Redskins here, and I'll tell you why. I'm betting on bad teams. First of all, this is a classic letdown spot. The Niners have played primetime game against the Browns, Monday Night Football. They follow that up with a key NFC West game for them against the Rams that got a lot of attention, and they have another game which is much more important as far as the NFL power structure, the totem pole in the NFL. They play Carolina next week, which is more of a high profile game. And the other thing is, nobody gets fired up to play the Redskins. You got, you know, this is a good test to see how the Niners handle prosperity. And you know, I think the Niners are a good team. I like their defense. I'm impressed. I hate to say that. I hate to give them credit, but they certainly looked like a good team the way they played. They are down a couple of offensive linemen, which you got to factor in coming to this game. Will it matter? The Redskins are pretty bad defensively. And the main problem I have, and I'm taking the Redskins despite this, is how are they going to move the ball? Their offense is trash. They got a bunch of good-for-nothing playmakers who, you know, collectively disappear into thin air for stretches of games. But that said, the value is on the side of Washington. You get over a touchdown. I got to stay loyal to my gambling principles on Benny versus the Penny. I tried to do that. And West Coast team going east, early start. 49ers, you figure a little lethargic at the beginning of the game. Redskins can score a special teams touchdown. Jimmy Garoppolo throws an interception. That could lead to an easy score for the Redskins. And the other thing is, the public is loading up on the Niners. And most NFL games are decided by a touchdown or less. Even the bad teams keep it close. And this is not quite double digits, but you can live a nice life on close or at double digit odds. So I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to cover my ears. More importantly, shut my mouth. And I will take the Santa Clara 49ers 26, the Redskins 17. That's right. Hail to the Redskins. Hail to victory.
Penny going with San Francisco.
All right, let's get trivial. The Redskins earned their first win of the season in interim coach Bill Callahan's debut. Callahan bidding to become the fifth Redskins head coach to win his first two games, the first since blank. Gascon, lifelong fan of the Washington Redskins.
I'm going to go with, can I go with North Turner?
It's a good name. It's a good name, North Turner. No, not Norvell Turner. The correct answer, you got to go back to that 70s show. Jack Pardee got off to a 6-0 start with the 1978 version of the Redskins. I would have thought it would have been like Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, that was my first guess.
That was the obvious one. That's why I used it. I don't like when the obvious one is the answer.
Yeah.
Jack Pardee. There's a name. I haven't heard that name since I was a kid. All right, late games. L.A. Chargers 2-4 at Tennessee 2-4. It's on CBS with Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts. The Tennessee Titans opened up a 1-point favorite. Titans are favored by 2 at this moment. Now, the weather, it'll be partly sunny, 78 degrees for Clay Travis when he goes to this game at Nissan Stadium. He's a Titans season ticket holder. I'm going to take his Titans in this spot. You don't love this game, but I'm going to take Tennessee as a small favorite at home. This season has come apart for both these teams. The Chargers were an AFC power last season, playoff team, won a playoff game. Now they are in a pit of misery. And Phillip Rivers has been worse than his statistics. His turnovers and miscues have put the Chargers consistently behind the eight ball. And you figure things would go better. You figure that things would go better this week against a weak Tennessee team, right? And I believe I believe it when it happens. You know, I am skeptical of this actually working out. So anyway, we can break this down 7 ways to Sunday if you want. Melvin Gordon came back. He's been no good. The Chargers actually have been held to 35 rushing yards or fewer in both games since Melvin Gordon returned to the team. It's the first time the Chargers have had back-to-back games with 35 rushing yards or less since 1996. The Titans have a decent defense. The problems on offense, it's been a polar vortex of their offense. They simply can't score. Things are so bad that we know they're turning to Ryan Tannehill as an upgrade over Marcus Mariota. The Titans have had fewer than 25 completions in 18 straight games, the longest active streak in the NFL. The key here is the opponent. The Chargers defensively are not terrible statistically, but they've been just off enough that it's not a winning formula, combined with Phillip Rivers' mistakes. So the public seems to be slow reacting here to how bad the Chargers are. The public perception is, when the legend becomes the fact, that you go with the legend, right? The legend is that the Chargers are a good team. The fact is that right now they're not, and I expect Derrick Henry to run wild against an injury-ravaged Charger defense. Titans, despite the substandard quarterback, 24. The Chargers, 16.
Penny also going with Tennessee.
All right, moving on. Let's see here. We press on. We have the next game. Actually, let's get trivial one more time. Which quarterback has produced the fewest negative plays, that's sacks, interceptions, and fumbles, lowest rate through the first 6 weeks? Answer coming up. Baltimore 4-2 at Seattle 5-1. It's on Fox. You know who's calling this game? It's a pretty good game. Who's got the game?
I'm going to go with Dick Stockton.
That is correct. Our man Dick. Dick Stockton and Rondé Barber, who normally works with Kenny Albert, and Mark Schlereth, three-man booth, calling this game. Seahawks opened a 4-point favorite. They are favored right now by 3.5. Light rain, traditional Seattle weather. Light rain and 53 degrees. I'm excited. I'm going to tell you guys more. I'll probably do it next week. There's going to be a Maller meet and greet at a 49ers game. Jay Scoop is setting this up, but some of the big super fans of the show in Seattle are going to get together before a Seahawks 49ers game, kind of hold a rally outside the stadium with signs and stuff and a bullhorn, and it's going to be pretty cool. I'm fired up about it. I wonder if I can get to Seattle and maybe that would be fun if I can go to that game and be part of it. But anyway, so that's coming up. But I'm going to take the Ravens actually in this game. Sorry, Seahawks fans. I'm going to take the Ravens. Pete Carroll, I don't know if he's got lucky fuzzy dice or rabbit's foot or whatever, but he has been able to ward off bad luck. Seattle statistically has been outplayed in several of the games. They're 5-1, but they've won the scoreboard. My evaluation is, much like I talked about Green Bay, that the Seahawks really should be 3-3. They were outplayed by the Bengals of all teams. The Rams missed a chip shot field goal that should have won the game last time out. So, or 2 weeks ago, that's the randomness of the NFL season. Russell Wilson has yet to throw an interception. That means the law of averages, he's due. Nobody's perfect. He's going to throw an interception. Why not this week against this average Ravens defense? Secondly, this is the hardest game, I would say, to handicap, because both these teams are more, I believe, of a pretender than a real contender, and yet someone is either going to be 6-1, or that would be Seattle, or both these teams will be 5-2. The Seahawks defeated the Browns last week. They got their fourth win of the season by 4 points or fewer. No other NFL team this season has more than two wins by 4 points. So they've been living a charmed life. And so far this season, Baltimore, they haven't played anybody. Their opponents have a combined 300 winning percentage, tied with the 49ers for the easiest schedule so far this NFL season. I'm also taking the Ravens despite history. I'm going against the trend. Historically, the Ravens have turned to vampires when they go to the West Coast. They're dead birds. Ravens are 4-11 against the spread on the West Coast in their franchise history. And you know, I'm sure Lamar Jackson's losing sleep over that. But there's something else to file away. The Ravens have a bye week next week, so you wonder about that. But I like Marcus Peters energizing the locker room, coming over. They think he's good. He's not. From the Rams, and he'll just play cat coverage. You know what cat coverage is, Gascon?
Well, he's playing soft, and he's playing in zone, so...
No. Cat coverage is when you don't know what you're doing, you just go out and guard that cat. You point at the receiver. That's cat coverage.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I heard that. That's an NFL coach said that years ago. But this is the Earl Thomas revenge game. He's one of the captains for the Ravens this week, so win it for Earl. Do it for Earl. Ravens as an underdog, 23, Seahawks 20.
Penny, go with the home team in this one, Seattle.
All right, we are doing an expedited edition of Benny versus the Penny because Gascon showed up late. Let's get trivial. Quarterbacks who have produced negative plays, right? Sacks, interceptions, and fumbles at the lowest rate through the first 6 weeks. Who's number one? Most perfect quarterback.
I'm gonna go with Teddy Bridgewater.
That's a good one. He's eighth. He's played very well. He has not made a lot of mistakes. That's not a bad guess.
Right.
Number one, Patty Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, despite the last couple of weeks, Patrick Mahomes is still number one. Fewest sacks, interceptions, and fumbles.
Wow.
Carson Wentz is second. Dak Prescott's third. Those are the top three.
Nice.
All right, New Orleans 5-1 at Chicago 3-2. It's on Fox with Tom Brenneman and Troy Aikman. Joe Buck's doing the baseball, and so he's doing the Thursday game, but he's not. He did the Thursday game, but he's not doing the Sunday game. So Aikman's got to work with Brenneman. The Bears open a 3-point favorite. They're still favored by 3. It'll be sunny and 64 degrees at Soldier Field. I'm going to take New Orleans in this game. First of all, it looked like a fiasco with Teddy Bridgewater when he first played against the Rams, but obviously that was just some bad luck at the beginnings, but he's played wonderfully. The Saints they've molded the offense, made him an efficient quarterback, really solid game manager, doesn't throw the ball down the field too much, and it's working. They got a good defense in New Orleans, and they're fine. Bridgewater has made me look like a donkey. I look like a jackass with that monologue I did about the Saints, but I felt that way at the time. Bridgewater is now 15-6 as a starter since 2015. The only quarterbacks that have a better record with a minimum of 20 starts are Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. The guy's just winning games. He's not putting up great numbers per se, but he's winning games. I think that continues this week, even without Alvin Kamara. Because the Saints have, much like all these great teams, they have that next man up mentality in New Orleans. Now, secondly, the Bears' offensive line, they have more holes than a fashionista's pants on the catwalk at some fashion show in Paris. They have been decimated by injury, and Mitch Trubisky is back as the starter. He has a dislocated shoulder, and I don't know if you saw this week, but he was wearing a left shoulder harness during practice. I mean, how much confidence do you have in your quarterback when he's got to wear a harness during practice?
Zero.
Well, you're not supposed to hit the quarterback. They wear the red jersey. Not exactly the picture of confidence. He says he's close to 100%. Nobody believes him. Chicago has lost 5 straight coming off the bye. That is the longest active streak in the NFL. That's this situation. They had the bye week last week. New Orleans, 4-0 straight up and against the spread under the Teddy Bridgewater era. You don't love them in this spot, but they are a small underdog. Bears are a good team defensively, will cause some problems, but you ride the Teddy Bridgewater wave, its bridge over an untroubled waters until it crashes to shore. Saints 17, Bears 13.
Penny going with the Saints.
All right, next up, Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia 3-3 at Dallas 3-3. It's on NBC with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. Now, the Cowboys opened a 2.5-point favorite. They are favored by 3. It'll be mostly clear, 81 degrees at kickoff at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Jerry's World. Now, I'm taking the Cowboys here, and I'll walk you through my logic on this game. This should be a slobber knocker. The Cowboys seem unbothered by the statement made by Doug Peterson on the radio in Philadelphia on sports radio when he guaranteed the Eagles were going to win the game, then backpedaled after he made the guarantee. I don't mind that. I think you should guarantee a win if you're the Eagles. I like the confidence. You should expect to win every time you play on the play the game. And if you don't, you're messed up. You suck. You're a loser. And I don't like you. You've got a defeatist attitude. Both these teams have been flea-bitten in recent weeks. The Cowboys in particular have played progressively worse since they got rid of the cream puffs on the schedule. Both these teams have played injury bingo, and that's a key factor here. They need to hire a medicine man, get some remedies here with all these hobbled players in Philly and in Dallas. And both these teams got caught peeking ahead. And we always say this, if you lose the game that's a trap game because you get caught looking ahead, you then have to come back and you have to win the game you're looking ahead to. Philadelphia, it's a weird thing what's gone on under Doug Peterson. They're 18-2 when they score first. Score in the first quarter. Not even when they score first. When they score in the first quarter, they're 18-2. Best record of the NFL since 2017. When the Eagles have been outscored or in the first quarter, they've been outscored by 13 points this season, what I'm trying to say. Second worst in the NFL. So they haven't gotten off to good starts. But the main reason, like the Cowboys, the Eagles' secondary is the blind leading the blind. And even with Amari Cooper not playing, I would figure that Dallas is going to have a bounce-back game on offense. They actually moved the ball well last week they against the Jets. They just didn't start the game well. The money is heavily tilted on the Eagles. You can make a lot of cash betting against dummies in the public. When the public bets underdogs like this, you can win a lot of money on it. I don't love the Cowboys, but I do relish the chance to be on the side of the bookie, the wise guys. So how about them Cowboys? Cowboys 30, Eagles 23.
Penny also likes Dallas as well. Last one.
Just a programming note. I don't want a baseball game. I love game sevens. I want to focus on the Cowboys and Eagles. If there's a baseball game on Sunday, I won't be able to focus on that.
Your right hand will be getting a workout.
Wow. All right, Monday Night Football, New England 6-0 at the J-E-T-S, suck, 1-4. It's on ESPN with Joe Tessitore, who is David Gascon's idol, and Booger McFarland.
Well, we need to acknowledge what happened last week because the Penny was the one that said they don't need the points, they don't want the points, they picked the New York Jets over the Dallas Cowboys.
I took the Jets, too.
Yeah, but you didn't say that they would win outright. The Penny did.
No, I took the Jets.
No, but the Penny said they would win.
It doesn't matter whether they cover. I mean, you know, I say money line. I didn't say money line. I said take the Jets, take the Patriots.
I can at least acknowledge what the Jets did.
Jets, rather. Yeah. All right, but as far you're getting me distracted, dummy. All right? What's wrong with you? You're googly-eyed over there. Stop it. All right? Can I talk?
Yes, you can continue.
All right, so I mentioned the Patriots are 9.5-point favorite. It'll be 63 and cloudy at MetLife Stadium on Monday night. That is the forecast. I'm going to take the Patriots. I do not love this, but I am going to do it. The Patriots are 6-0. They have an injury-ravaged turnstile of an offensive line, but it has not mattered because of a proper mix of coaching. And let's be honest here, playing dog food opponents is a beautiful combination for New England. Fortunately, the Patriots' defense is as good as it gets. They create turnovers. They don't regularly give up big plays. I know last week, Golden Tate had a big pass play, but that was more of a bobbled pass that was almost knocked away by the defender. It was a 50-50 ball. And secondly, I wanted to find a reason to bet on the Jets. I love, in a divisional game, I've always said, when you get over a touchdown in a divisional game, you don't ask questions, you take the points. But there are exceptions to the rule. I couldn't find a really good reason. While you know, Sam Darnold, the Cinderella story is wonderful. He really only played well in the first half last week. He didn't do much in the second half. And that win against the Cowboys will have no bearing on what happens this week. All right? It won't. If anything, it will help fuel Bill Belichick to go DEFCON 1. The Jets are not a hard team to defend. And they've got the Patriots have a great defense. I mean, it's pretty simple. I know very little about X's and O's football, but I know if you key in on shutting down Le'Veon Bell, and Belichick's always done this. He's like, all right, we'll take away the other team's best player, and we'll handicap them. We'll have, you know, like Rush Limbaugh, one arm tied behind their back, and we'll see if they can succeed with the other players. They have no other real playmakers other than Le'Veon Bell. Bill Belichick, with extra time, and remember the Patriots have that extra time. They played last Thursday. That is a lethal situation. And even with a huge number, and I don't like it, I'll be very uncomfortable with it, and I would much rather be on the side of the Jets. I would much rather be on the Jets. But I'm telling you, the Patriots are the right side here. It'll be somewhat close for a half. Patriots will pull away, similar to that game against the Giants. Patriots 23, Jets 12. They'll barely cover the number, but they'll cover it.
Penny is going with the Jets back-to-back weeks. Let's go.
All right, guest gun, can you just like one day stop sending me food porn pictures, please? Can you one day? Can you do that?
Would you prefer that I sent you other kind of adult content?
Well, I did. I've been sending me that also, I see there. I see a big fan of Antonio Brown there. I see that. All right, listen, have a great weekend. Good luck with your bets. This has been a little quicker edition of this podcast, but blame Gascon. He showed up a little late, so we didn't have as much time in the studio. But have a great week, and we'll be back on the radio, the Magic Radio Box, Sunday night into Monday, 2 a.m. in the East on Monday, 11 p.m. in the West on Sunday night. And enjoy your weekend.